Sirota's Daily Reading, Episode 800, June 8, 2026. Following last week's intense focus on tokens, it's interesting to see some folks doubling down on token-intensive practices like loop engineering, while others in today's reading list explore the important human role in AI work. Let's start with a sweet upgrade to Notebook LM from Google. The research assistant has gotten a meaningful overhaul, now running on Gemini 3.5 and something called anti-gravity. The headline is that each notebook gets a secure cloud computer, giving it the ability to write and run code for deeper research and more complex analysis. That's a significant step up from a chat interface. They're also shipping over 100 curated software skills. In their own evaluations, the upgraded Notebook LM achieved a 65% win rate against their prior system across core dimensions, including a nearly 70% win rate on large document analysis and an impressive 78% on advanced web research and source discovery. Not bad for what started as an experiment. Here's a piece on Agent Platform Memory Bank that speaks to something I've been thinking about. Services that support agents shouldn't be locked to a single runtime. Google Agent Platform offers a memory bank service that can build a profile of user preferences by extracting pertinent information automatically. The twist is that you can use it even if your agent is running on GKE or Kubernetes or Cloud Run, not just inside Agent Platform's native runtime. The post walks through the workload identity setup to make that work. You create a Google service account, map it to a Kubernetes service account, grant it the right IAM roles, and then pass the session and memory service URIs as environment variables when you deploy. The code samples make it concrete. The point is sound. Memory infrastructure should be portable across your agent runtimes, not a sticky dependency on one vendor platform. A piece titled Embedding Pipelines are... The new ETL makes a point that lands. When your embedding pipeline breaks in production, the teams that recover fastest are the ones who realized early that this is, fundamentally, a data engineering problem. It's still extract, transform, load at its core, but with embeddings and vector stores as the destination instead of a data warehouse. Once you frame it that way, problems like versioning, data freshness, lineage, and retries stop feeling AI-specific. They're problems. The data infrastructure world has been solving for years. Large language models are brilliant, but blind to anything specific to your organization, trapped in a time capsule from when training ended. That context window limit is real, and how you pipeline your documents into that window is a data engineering challenge. On the topic of what to learn, here's a piece that's worth sitting with. The author grew up with the early internet and remembers when the key skill was, how do I Google to learn this? Now, in the AI era, that question has been replaced by something more fundamental. Do I need to learn this at all? When LLMs can return responses faster than ever, the question shifts from how to find information to whether you need to learn it in the first place. The piece offers a practical learning framework for this new world. First, the T-shaped model. Get the high-level concepts. Go deep only where you need to. Second, ask whether you need to do this once or repeatedly. That question alone changes your investment strategy. Third, if you need depth, keep asking the agent or go back to researching, but leverage your existing skills to accelerate. And fourth, for breadth in topics you don't know but should, use tools like Notebook LM or watch videos on background. The key insight is that this applies like Googling did. There is no single strategy that is best, but there are 5 to 10 that work well. It's a marathon, not a sprint, but it's worth being intentional about what you're building expertise in. Speaking of what matters in the AI era, here's a Google Itto talk from 2026 titled Software Engineering at the Tipping Point. It's a systems thinking talk on how developer ecosystems guide the evolution of software systems and how to prepare for AI-driven software development. The description mentions improving intuition for the systemic impacts of autonomous agents and understanding how to better prepare for the changes coming to the industry. With over 30,000 views in 2 weeks, this one is clearly striking a chord. Adam Bender is the speaker. If you have 40 minutes, it's worth the time. From the Google Testing blog, a quick piece on choosing values for robust tests. The example is a bug where a map's insert function was default. Initializing entries, so the second parameter passed to insert, was silently ignored. The test passed because it passed the same value twice, insert 1, 0, and then checked get 1, equals 0. Both were the wrong value, but they matched. The lesson is straightforward. Choose test values that would catch the obvious mistakes, not values that accidentally validate the broken behavior. Sounds simple, but you see this pattern more than you'd expect. Docker published a practical overview on how to secure AI agents. They identify 4 security domains that matter most. Execution isolation. Run each agent in its own sandboxed environment, a micro VM or hardened container where it can do its work but can't reach the host or other agents. Tool access control, scope permissions per task at runtime, not preloaded with every tool the agent might ever need. A centralized gateway can enforce these policies consistently. They also flag tool poisoning as an emerging threat, where a malicious tool description instructs the agent to do something it shouldn't, like reading your SSH key. Identity and credentials. Give agents their own scoped identities. Don't run them under developer tokens with full permissions. Inject secrets at runtime. Use short-lived tokens and make sure they don't persist in conversation context where they could be extracted. And finally, runtime monitoring. Log the full decision chain, not just outcomes. Which tools were called, in what order, with what parameters. Establish behavioral baselines per agent, and alert when something drifts. The practical path they recommend is to start with isolation, layer on tool access controls as you grow, formalize identity management when agents move to production, and build monitoring in from the start, rather than retrofitting it later. Here's a piece on whether Valky is ready to replace Redis in 2026. The short answer, yes, for most cases. Valky is on version 9.1. It's the default on AWS ElastiCache and MemoryDB, governed by the Linux Foundation, and wire-compatible with Redis. Migration from Redis 7.2.2x is close to drop-in. Same protocol, same RDB and AOF files. The big practical question is the AGPL license that Redis 8 adopted. The piece cuts through the confusion. AGPL only bytes if you modify the Redis source and offer it to others over a network. If you just use it as a cache, it changes almost nothing. The teams that care are those building products on top of a modified engine. The real divergence to watch is post-fork features. Redis 8 bundles, JSON, search, time series and vector sets into core, while Valky ships those as separate modules. If you want vector search inside the data store with no extra setup, Redis 8 is ahead today. But if you want a permissive license that can't be changed under you, Valky is the move. Here's a piece from Spotify Engineering that's one of the best I've seen on this topic. Coding is no longer the constraint. Their adoption numbers are wild. 99% of engineers use AI coding tools every week. 94% report higher productivity, and they're seeing a 76% increase in pull request frequency. Most PRs are authored by a developer working alongside an AI agent. What caught my attention is how their years-long investment in internal developer platforms positioned them perfectly for the AI transition. They built something called Fleet Management, which uses automation to make changes across hundreds or thousands of software components at once. They've merged over 2.5 million automated maintenance PRs, most of them auto-merged with no human in the loop. When LLMs matured, they wrapped Claude in their own harness and deployed it as a background coding agent they call Honk. It runs in Kubernetes pods, has access to trusted tools, including CI, to verify changes across multiple operating systems. A recent Java migration across their back-end services took 3 days, but used to be hundreds of teams doing migrations for weeks or months, now done by a single engineer in a few days. One of their oldest engineering principles is that fewer technologies means faster movement, and that principle has turned out to be just as important for agents. When Claude has consistent code to reference, it performs significantly better. That's the insight that connects human developer experience to agent performance. A quick mention of a paper on tokenomics, quantifying where tokens are used in agentic software engineering. This is the source paper for an article shared a month or so ago, but it feels more timely now as people suffer under the weight of rapidly consumed token budgets. Worth digging into if you're optimizing agent costs. And finally, the AI Agents Stack 2026 edition from O'Reilly Radar. This is a good overview of the 6 layers that make up modern agents, models and inference, protocols and tools, MCP and browser automation, memory and knowledge, frameworks and SDKs, eval and observability, and guardrails and safety. The piece is notable for its honest takes on maturity. Evil and observability is the layer with the biggest prototype. To production gap, most teams skip it until something breaks in production and current. Tools are strongest for single-turn evaluation, while multi-agent evaluation remains unsolved. The guardrails layer is the least mature, with no dominant framework and most teams writing policy code from scratch. For the protocols layer, MCP won the debate, with 97 million monthly SDK downloads. The remaining question is how to lock down your MCP servers before someone exploits them. The article maps out what you need depending on what kind of agent you're building. A stateless tool caller is a weekend project. A multi-agent system needs the full stack from day one. That's episode 800. Themes across today's set. The infrastructure that makes agents production-ready is maturing fast, whether it's cross-runtime memory, embedding pipelines as ETL, or Spotify's platform investments. At the same time, security and observability remain the layers where most teams will spend unplanned engineering time. And underneath it all, the question of what humans need to learn versus what we offload to agents is becoming the skill that separates high performers.